Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Throw down your guns, throw down your guns in the name of love.
So we've been through this before. We get a horrible action by a deranged person who kills a number of people, and understandably people are emotional about it. The citizens are emotional. They don't want this to happen again, and they think, what can you do to protect me and to protect our fellow citizens? So they've come up with these red flag law ideas, and it sounds good initially, I guess, but there's some problems with it. Philip Van Cleve is the president of the Virginia Citizens Defense League. And Philip, I appreciate you joining us. What do you make? What have you heard about the red flag laws? And is there anything out there that comes close to something that you can say, yeah, this is responsible, we could support this?
Nothing so far is out there. The problem is the red flag laws shred the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, and the Sixth Amendment. So if you don't care for the Constitution and the protection of our Bill of Rights, then you're okay with them. But if you care about any of that, if you want to be protected, your rights preserved, you're not going to like red flag laws. It's the details that are really, really a problem.
Yeah. Well, the president is, at least in public statements, I don't know that, I hate to say this, I don't know that he's gotten into the nitty-gritty of it or has taken time to try to delve into the potential details of a bill, but he's at least tossing that out as something that the GOP should look at. What exactly are the elements of the red flag laws that have passed in other parts of the country that are so concerning?
Well, let me hit with the basic thing that shows that it's a stupid concept, that it really is not the way to go. You've got a supposedly dangerous person, and that you're going to arrest his guns, but you're going to leave him there. That's like having a tiger. Somebody put a tiger in your house and say, it's okay, I trimmed his claws. I don't think you're still going to want him there. He's dangerous. So if this person is supposedly dangerous, they're not taking him down to get any mental health treatment. They're not arresting him because he's not done nothing wrong, but still the point is he's at home. He can do whatever he wants. If he wanted to commit suicide, he can go hang himself. 25% of suicides are hangings. It goes on and on. It doesn't do anything for the real danger, which is the person, not the tools he has at home. That's the number one thing that shows it's about confiscation, not really making anybody any safer.
That's a good point.
And, go ahead.
And yeah. these judges, we constantly have talked for the last 20 years about activist judges. I guess that's got to be a concern, that you get people who are brought before a judge because someone didn't like the sound of one of your posts. It was a little too vociferous on Facebook. And the next thing you know, a judge says, you know what? I don't like what you said. I don't like the way you said it. Now I'm going to disarm you.
But even there, you've got it backwards. The judge will do all this behind your back. You won't even know it's happening. All of a sudden, at 5 a.m., you hear a loud banging on your door. You go downstairs to find out who is banging on your door that early in the morning. And the police show up with guns pointed at you. They come in and take all your guns. You don't even know why they're there. They won't tell you why they're there, and they won't tell you why who said that you were in danger. They're going to take your guns and go out the door. Weeks later, you'll finally have a chance to go in front of a judge. And even then, if you're poor, forget it. They will not provide you with an attorney when you go in front of that judge. If you're poor, you're going to have to go in front of a judge with no legal training and try to convince. How do you convince somebody you're not dangerous? How do you prove a negative? The judge, all he has to do is say, well, I'm not really convinced. That's the easy way out. And he just keeps hanging on to your guns. This could go on for years.
Yeah,
it'll cost you thousands if you do get a lawyer.
For the folks who are that concerned about a fascist government, it does seem counterintuitive to say, I would like to empower that government to disarm me and abuse me potentially even more.
Yeah, and forget the Fourth Amendment. They've walked out. They come in, take all your stuff, and you get no compensation or anything. It's just gone. You don't even know why. Yeah. You don't get to confront your accuser under these laws. So, they got somebody killed in Maryland. It turned out it was a niece getting even with her father, her uncle, and this happens a lot. Apparently, like over a third, half of these cases up there are somebody getting even with somebody, revenge, and it ends up getting her uncle killed because he came to the door at 5 a.m. to see who was banging on the door, and he had a gun in his hand. Yeah. And the police shot and killed him. And then she says, oh, but he really wasn't dangerous. Then why did you do this to him? Yeah. You killed him. Good job.
Yeah, big, lots of potential problems when you actually think through it. Let me ask you about universal background checks, because that's another thing that sounds like a great idea. I mean, if we can just run you through a computer, and if you've got, I mean, let's say you've got a really bad record of committing violent crimes, this is the kind of person that we shouldn't allow to run around on the street with a weapon, right?
Well, but universal background checks aren't going to accomplish that. Illinois has those. And take a look at the shootings they have there all the time. A lot of states. California has universal background checks. Every other public mass shooting seems to be in California. And basically, criminals don't go through background checks. I think it's like 3% go through a background check. 3%, 97% are going to get their guns on the street. Again, the same guy that sold them dope can sell them a gun. They steal the guns. They're given to them by friends or family. Or you do a straw purchase, and no background check can stop that. That's where you get somebody, maybe you pay them money, that doesn't have a background problem, and they go in, buy whatever guns you want, go through all the background checks, and then hand you, the criminal, the gun. Can't stop that.
And then they claim that the gun was stolen? Is that how they get out of any responsibility?
Yeah, they do that if ultimately it's traced back to them, yes.
So what do you do about, as somebody who's very concerned about the rights of individual citizens to carry, what do you do about the polling that shows that 90% of the public, I mean, granted, I think this is first glance at this and a desperation for some solution. What do you do about this maybe growing consensus that something has to be done?
Yeah, and that's the problem. We have this many times in the past. Something. That means let's run on emotion. You want to be ruled by logic and reason. You don't want to be ruled by emotion, the heat of the moment. That's the wrong time to make laws. You know, you should definitely let things cool down and think them through, because you're talking about our civil rights being affected here. And you just don't want to throw them away. Look, you cannot live in a free society and not have some element of danger. You can't lock everybody up. Here, give you an example. They always talk about, well, to save one life. What if we had everybody go through a mental health evaluation every 3 months? Wouldn't that save one life? Nobody would want to go through that.
Right.
But it wouldn't, in the end, it probably wouldn't help anyhow. At some point, there's something called freedom. And if we're going to have it, we have to accept certain things. This is why we tell people, anyhow, you should be responsible for your own safety. If you can get a concealed carry permit and carry concealed, get the training that you have to get anyhow, and go ahead and carry concealed. Be able to protect yourself in an emergency. Don't depend on somebody else.
It's good to talk through it. I mean, I've got a lot of gay friends in D.C. who constantly say, oh, we've got to get these guns off the street. And then the next weekend, when somebody gets bashed on the street for being, holding somebody's hand or a thing, they get very distressed, like somebody's going to protect them. I'll tell you, as a gay guy, the last thing I'm doing is counting on other people to take care of me, because they don't seem to like me most of the time.
Look at a video of you being killed. The person that's most invested in protecting you is you. And whether you're gay or anything else, if you legally own a gun, you can get a permit. I mean, it works. We've got Virginia's got 600,000. There's 17 million permit holders.
A lot of very peaceful people doing it. Hey, Philip Van Cleve, the president of the Virginia Citizens Defense League, appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.